Good afternoon, everyone. In October 2010, the ISB issued amendments to IFRS 7 requiring disclosures around transfers of financial assets, and that includes continuing involvement in transferred assets. These disclosures are effective for annual periods beginning 1 July 2011. One of the objectives of the disclosures is to evaluate the nature of and the risks associated with an entity's continuing involvement in derecognized financial assets. This is to enable an assessment to be made about the amount, the timing, and uncertainty of an entity's future cash flows. IFRS 7 also includes definitions of transfers and continuing involvement for the purpose of applying the disclosures. In October 2012, the Interpretations Committee received a request to seek clarification through an annual improvement on whether servicing rights and obligations are continuing involvement for the purpose of the transfer disclosures. So in Agenda Paper 11, we've outlined the submission that we've received and the staff's analysis of the issue. The submission has two views. View one is that servicing rights and obligations are not continuing involvement. This view is based on discussions that were outside of the IFRS 7 disclosure requirements, as well as references to pass-through arrangements. View two of the submission indicates that servicing rights obligations are considered continuing involvement for the disclosures. And this view is based on the wording in the IFRS 7 transfer disclosure requirements. The staff note in AP 11 that we believe that the issue that needs to be addressed is whether servicing rights or obligations are in the scope of the IFRS 7 disclosure requirements, and not whether servicing arrangement in general constitutes continuing involvement. The staff believe that IFRS 7 is clear that its scope includes continuing involvement in a transferred financial asset. This means that servicing arrangements, to the extent that they relate to transferred financial assets, are not automatically excluded from the scope of these disclosures. The staff believe that whether a servicing arrangement constitutes continuing involvement for the scope of these disclosures depends on the terms of that arrangement, and therefore is outside the scope of this issue. Based on this, we don't believe that an annual improvement is necessary, and we are recommending that the Interpretations Committee not take this issue onto its agenda. However, the staff also wants to let you know that after we posted the paper, we have received additional feedback from outreach to national standard setters and regulators. We've received feedback from 15 different jurisdictions relating to the treatment of servicing arrangements for these disclosures, and we received a variety of responses. I didn't break it out by number and response, but in general, we had some jurisdictions that actually had mixed views within their own jurisdiction as to whether servicing arrangements were in the scope of the disclosures. We had some jurisdictions that were clear that they were in the scope, i.e., either they constituted continuing involvement or should at least be considered, and some were clear that they did not think they were in the scope. We have other jurisdictions that are just now starting to implement the disclosures based on the effective date, and so are not yet ready to determine whether servicing arrangements are considered to be in. And we do have a couple of jurisdictions that believe that servicing arrangements that are at market are not in, but if they have other than market features, they may be in the scope of the disclosures. We also spoke to one financial institution that believes that their servicing arrangements are considered continuing involvement, but their servicing arrangements are not material enough to be in the scope of the disclosures. So that's the outreach we received after we posted the paper. We've included the questions for the committee on page 6, that's following paragraph 21. Basically, we have three questions for you. Does the Interpretation Committee agree with the staff's analysis regarding the scope of the disclosure requirements? Does the Interpretations Committee therefore agree with the draft agenda decision that we've included in Appendix A? And does the committee want to take any other action other than publishing a draft agenda decision?
Okay. One at a time. The first one is, do you agree with the staff's analysis? Do I hear any disagreement? Staff's analysis. Guido is crackling on the phone there, so if he wants to, I'll let him go first, and then Scott and Laurence.
Okay. Problem that I have, Wayne, with the first question is that I don't really understand the analysis of the staff with regards to the scope of disclosure requirement. It seems to me that people were asking the question, is a servicing agreement, is it continuing involvement under IFRS 7, and our answer is, look at the scope of IFRS 7, so that doesn't really help much. So I don't think that what we are saying here does clarify anything, and I'm aware that there is diversity in practice out there. So then my answer would be to question A, no, I do not agree. Because simply saying, look at what IFRS 7 says doesn't help, because if IFRS 7 would be clear, there wouldn't be diversity in practice.
Barbara, as I understand the staff's analysis, it's that IFRS says sometimes yes and sometimes no.
And we don't think that we can say yes or no, because the terms will determine whether the service agreement is in or out of, is or is not continuing involvement. So we said, let's make sure that it's in the scope to begin with, and then if it is, you have to look at the terms. So yes, it may be, no, maybe not. Yes.
Wayne, can I
answer? Yes.
That is not really helpful. I mean, if I say look at the terms, but we don't really say what are the characteristics of the terms that would decide whether it's in or out, it doesn't help at all.
The servicing agreement terms may differ all the time. We can't give an answer for any specific agreement.
But I'm not asking for any specific agreement. I'm just asking what are the principles behind the terms that would tell us it's in or out.
I think what Guido is asking, and Barbara, I'll ask you to respond, does 7 tell me what the critical terms are?
Yes.
Okay. Then what are they?
What are they?
I'll read it to you.
42C?
That's 42C. So whether the entity an entity has continuing involvement in a transfer financial asset, if as part of the transfer, the entity retains any of the contractual rights or obligations inherent in the transferred financial asset, or obtains any new contractual rights or obligations relating to the transferred financial asset. Now, there are three, we've referred to three situations where we feel that there are terms that do not constitute continuing involvement. Would you like me to read those as well?
Yeah. That was why I asked.
A are normal representations and warranties relating to fraudulent transfer and concepts of reasonableness, good faith, and fair dealings that could invalidate a transfer as a result of legal action. B, forward option and other contracts to reacquire the transferred financial asset for which the contract price or exercise price is the fair value of the transferred financial asset. Or C, an arrangement whereby an entity retains the contractual rights to receive the cash flows of a financial asset, but assumes a contractual obligation to pay the cash flows to one or more entities, and the conditions in paragraph 19A-C of IS 39 are met.
So those are very, very similar to the definition of a continuing involvement in 39.
The C, you're saying?
Wayne, I guess the problem is that I have read also 42C, and I guess all the others that applied IFRS have also read it, but the problem is that there is diversity in practice in interpreting a sentence at the beginning, which says contractual rights or obligations inherent in the transferred financial asset. So is a servicing agreement something that is inherent in the transferred financial asset? And the second one is, or obtains any new contractual rights relating to the transferred financial asset. And I think we need to clarify whether a servicing agreement is something that is inherent or is related to a transferred financial asset. I think that's the heart of the problem.
Okay, let's go bring in some others and then we'll cycle back. I'm just going to go around the room starting with Andrew.
Well, similar to Guido, really. I mean, I don't think looking at A, B, and C and 42C can help some of the terms are relevant analysis and which aren't. And I think the leading 42C is the key paragraph and highlights one of the words that Guido just mentioned about inherent. Depending on your interpretation of those words, then servicing agreements will either all be in or all be out. Mm-hmm. I don't think focusing on specific terms or specific agreements is very helpful. So I don't think A, B, and C are relevant. It's very relevant.
Scott?
Well, I thought the staff analysis was helpful to a point in confirming that servicing arrangements don't get a pass. I think even if that's all we say, that's helpful. But I like Guido, was left a little short here with with what we're saying the analysis is, I mean, looking at 42C, which Barbara just pointed to as giving us the guidance, the exception is an arrangement where an entity retains the contractual rights to receive cash flows, but assumes a contractual obligation to pay, so a pass-through arrangement. Well, every servicing arrangement that I'm aware of, the entity has the right to collect the cash flows and the obligation to pay most of them, but not all of them. So I was thinking it didn't meet 42CC, and therefore every servicing arrangement that I am aware of would be continuing involvement, but I think you just told me that's wrong, that more thought is necessary, so I was left incomplete.
I didn't think that we could say what the terms of every single servicing arrangement were. That's why I said I couldn't say every single servicing arrangement.
Okay, so do you agree that in the arrangement I just described, where the servicer collects the amounts owed, keeps its fee, and distributes the rest, that would be continuing involvement?
See, I would have reached exactly the opposite conclusion based on the derecognition requirements in 39, because unless I forget what it says, an at-the-market servicing agreement does not constitute continuing involvement in the assessment for derecognition.
Right, but that's not brought in here. So
that's only one of the. For the these don't include.
Right, that's one of the things that isn't continuing involvement.
Well, but that's why I was saying the language is so similar.
Well, again, I would have thought it was clear that they either retain rights or get new ones.
But we're arguing, we're running two or three arguments here at the same time. Charlotte?
I agree what other people are saying, trying to apply this, it just isn't clear at all which servicing agreements are in, when they're in, and when they're out. If you mean it to be the same exemption as IS 39, can you say so? If you mean it depends on whether it's a fixed fee, a floating fee, a market fee, if it depends on where it's coming from, if you're collecting and then passing on, or if you're just holding as agent, can you say so? Because it's just, everyone's just trying to guess at the moment, and so telling us it's in the scope of IFRS 7. That just doesn't help.
Laurent?
I think there's something.
Nothing to add. I mean, I concur with everything that has been said. Currently, people don't know how to read and apply the requirements of IFRS 7.
Okay. The problem being, let's think about what the committee has just said. And this is going to sound, as I often do, more pejorative than I mean it. This section of IFRS 7 cannot be applied because it is not intelligible. And that, the implication that my Jesuit teachers would have drawn from that is it is also therefore not interpretable, because there's nothing there that's intelligible to interpret. And therefore, this is another one we have to kick to the board and say, you guys made this mess, you got to clean it up. And I apologize if any of that was pejorative, but that's, I think, the implications of what you just told us. Scott?
Well, I can certainly be as unintelligible as anybody else, but I actually thought that it was intelligible until I read the paper that didn't kind of come to a conclusion that said, you know, in general servicing arrangements are going to be continuing involvement. You know, the paper left it open in a way that I didn't see was open after reading IFRS 7. So I thought it was interpretable and intelligible, but, you know, then reading the paper and hearing the discussion, maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I've just been interpreting it incorrectly. I mean, I actually thought it was clear, and, you know, knowing that I had to look at 7 and I had to look at paragraph 42C, I thought, yeah, servicing is continuing involvement. Move along. But that wasn't the conclusion that was reached, so that's what gave me pause.
Okay, I think what I'm hearing is that much as I hate to say it, we have to kick this one to the board.
We're good at that today.
And let me ask the sense of the committee. We've got a couple of different spins on it that we can also communicate to the board. One is Scott's view, which is always.
Well, I'm not going to say I'm aware, I know what all the possible terms of servicing range, but at least the,
yeah, but
know, the normal kind of servicing range that I thought was in.
And anything abnormal would also be in because it would probably be continuing involvement.
Right, you'd have to have a really stripped down arrangement for me to think it might not be continuing involvement.
So that's one thing to communicate to the board, is that some of the committee members believe that the appropriate reading is all servicing is in. The other interpretation is some. So just to, so that we can give a sense to the board, how many people would say all?
I may be the only one.
You're one of three. Guido, are you an all or a some?
I'm an all. Reading, again, I'm trying to interpret it, and I wasn't looking at 42C, letter C. I was looking at the general sentences, and I thought it yet it's related to the transferred financial assets. So I was of the view that servicing requirements are continuing involvement, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, well, if the board agrees with that view, it will be easy.
Is it helpful for the staff to say what they thought it was, or is it not relevant at this point, do you think?
What, who they?
What the staff thought. Thank
her.
Her.
Her they. Or the two of them they.
Okay, yes, please, it is relevant.
The staff think that servicing arrangements are continuing involvement. However, the staff did not think it was reasonable to make that generalization without understanding the terms of all agreements. And since we don't know the terms of all the agreements, that is why we didn't do that.
Okay, so the staff inclination is leaning heavily toward all, and you'd have to be hauled back from the cliff.
Yes, I think that was okay. The staff.
Okay.
And then I assume that everybody else around the table is a sum. And we'll communicate that to the board as well. Andrew?
I mean, I think part of the problem here is if servicing agreements, and there may be nothing we can do about this, but if servicing agreements are continuing involvement, then you look to the disclosures in 42E, and what would you disclose? And you know, particularly 42EB, the fair value of the assets and liabilities that represent the entity's continuing involvement. So, I mean, that means we're going to have to fair value servicing rights and obligations. And I, you know, that's part of the tension here because that's a fairly onerous requirement. And I'll just throw that into the mix, really, because that's not very helpful.
I would observe that there was a time, at least in the United States, when fair valuing servicing rights was not onerous because there were so many transfers around them. I suspect that's no longer true. Sandy?
No, I was just going to actually make a point. What other disclosures would you have? But if you're saying it would be under 42E, then you've answered my question. Because what other information would you get about them if it wasn't included in this paragraph? But Andrew's comment addressed that for me.
Okay. That is what we will report to the board.
Okay.
It is the recommendation of the committee that they clarify. If not all, then some, and if not, if some, how would be the necessary clarifications? Board members have any, other than the fact that we keep kicking work your way, this? Okay. Thank you, Barbara. Joan, you wanted to come in on something?
In looking at the basis for conclusions around the disclosures, one of the key things was to get the same as US GAAP disclosures. So I don't know if US GAAP is any clearer on the equivalent of paragraph 42C.
Well, US GAAP, we actually did talk to the board about US GAAP disclosures about on servicing. US GAAP is much more comprehensive. We asked the board at that time if they wanted to address all those disclosures, and the board didn't want to address those disclosures. One of the reasons for that is because they thought servicing assets rights or obligations in general needed to be addressed, whether or not they were financial assets, and so the board didn't go through the comprehensive disclosure that US GAAP has. So we have we wouldn't have as comprehensive as US GAAP, but we would have some if we included these.
So So under US GAAP, the servicing arrangements bit would be caught for disclosure, i.e. coming back to the question about the full versus
the... It's got its own required disclosure. Okay. Servicing is triggers it, disclosure.
Just, okay, so, full stop. So it doesesn't say whether that is continuing involvement. It's just servicing.
Right, it doesn't say why.
Okay. It just says it's fact. Okay.
Right.
I think they do discuss whether servicing is continuing involvement.
Because that might be useful in terms of progressing it even with the board.
Right. Closer to US GAAP, you put all servicing into this, because that would be the disclosures.
Okay. Have we done enough damage?